This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Final hour of power coming up here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 9:45. Caps hockey coming up on the other side of our local programming. Fellas, beginning a slow West Coast trip out in Anaheim, taking on the Ducks. Alex Ovechkin continuing his pursuit of Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. John Walton, Ken Sabourin on the call right here on The Fan. Before we get out of here, give you some big-time news from our guy Joe Beninati when he joined the Sports Junkies this morning. News that I think all Caps fans across the DMV will just absolutely love. So make sure you keep it locked right here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor list of lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I want to get right to it because I'm going to take my medicine on the chin. Skip is in D.C. Skip, what's going on, my brother?
Linnell, I love you, brother.
I know what you're about to say.
We've been talking about it all night, and you didn't even mention it to Kevin about Hendrickson.
I know.
And you know he has an opinion.
I know he does. I'm glad that you enjoyed that, man. I love having Kevin on.
Kevin's the best.
Yes, love getting the chance to work with him, man. Somebody I grew up listening to, so it was always an honor, man. But yes, Skip, somebody should smack me over the damn head, Skip.
What happened? I mean, you were talking about everything but Hendrix.
Why we got you here, Skip? What is your thoughts? If you've been listening all night, like, to me, the conversations around the draft, like, is the draft capital too much?
It's a tough question because Kevin's been saying all along, we need a edge who, you know, sets the edge against the run as well as rushes the passer. That's a tough ask. I mean, that's one of the hardest positions to fill in the NFL. But Hendrickson would certainly give the pass rush. I'm not so sure about against the run, though. So for all the draft capital we'd have to give up and the dollars, I don't know. Yeah. Do you think maybe?
I said I've been flipping back and forth all day, Skip, and like I'm being real when I say that. I know that's not what they want from us. We got to be hard, give a strong opinion, but like I really don't know because I could make the argument for both sides, Skip, and I think that's what you're saying.
Is he good enough against the run? That's my number one question.
I don't think so. Now, y'all know how I feel about PFF. It's not gospel. I think it should be used as a tool to give context on what you're seeing. But, like, when I watch Cincinnati play, is how I would best put it, he's not a liability against the run. He's 6'5", 270 pounds. I think he's got enough mass to be able to set the edge. But will he actually do it's a whole other question. Skip, if there's a veteran out there for you, who would it be? Mine is DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yes. That would be a good one. And how much is it going to cost to get him?
So I think you got to look at the other veteran edges that have signed. Now, Khalil is an anomaly to me because the sack production's there with Lawrence because of the time that he's missed and then the sack production not being there. I'm thinking 2 years. I'm thinking he get 2 years, $34 million, $32 million, like 16. It's going to cost because he's a proven guy and the market is bat bleep crazy right now.
And Quinn knows him very well. Do you think Dallas is going to re-sign him, or do you, what?
Well,
what do you think?
Now, Skip, you a fan of mine, I'm a fan of yours. I'd be a damn lie if I told you if I knew what Dallas was thinking. I don't think Dallas knows what Dallas is thinking.
I would go for it. I think it'd be worth it. A two-year deal?
I'm all for it. And the thing that I love about it, Skip, is that it gets you that true defensive end that you're looking for. Somebody that's going to be physical at the point of attack, stopping the run, and then he's quick-twitched enough and has enough juice to impact the quarterback as a pass rusher as well.
I'll sign up for that one.
I would sign up for it,
that's the solution.
For sure.
Because then we don't have to give up draft capital.
Yes.
And which we still need to get some draft picks.
For sure. And I didn't ask him about a trade back. It's a lot we got to touch on, Skip. I appreciate you chiming in, as always, my brother. Enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, Linnell.
Yes, sir.
1-800, keep doing what you do.
I appreciate you, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Can we go around the NFL, Max? Let's do that.
We can try.
We'll try to go around the NFL as there is a lot to sort through. Daniel Jones found his home today. We had some big-time safeties move. We'll go around the NFL when we come back here on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor list of lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Max, I see you're already looking for it because you're a pro. Let's go around the National Football League while we got some time here on overtime. It is my favorite time of the year. Free agency always goes Kanye crazy, as I like to say. We've already seen some big-time movement. While we have a second, I just want to focus on the quarterback position. The movement at quarterback throughout free agency has been absolutely nuts. Let's first look at the teams that now have a new starting signal caller. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we know, are going to have a new starting signal caller. Most reports say that it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. My buddy Kyle is a massive Steelers fan, and we were texting yesterday, and he was like, dude, I'm so against it. I don't want...
My Uncle Mike, also a huge Steelers fan,
against it.
Hates this.
Yeah, so Steelers fans know what they are. He was like, man, Pickens... DK and Aaron in the same
A very level-headed locker room.
Can't do that. So shout out my guy Kyle Cassidy for that. But Steelers gonna have a new quarterback. We expect it to be Aaron Rodgers. The Browns, they traded for Kenny Pickett. I don't think that influences their thought process at quarterback in the draft. I just think they want a developmental guy, or maybe it does. Who knows? The Indianapolis Colts today, big time news. I'm putting pen to paper with, almost called him Eli Manning, Daniel Jones signing.
Close enough, man.
Right. Daniel Jones signing with the Indianapolis Colts to compete with Anthony Richardson. Bad news for Anthony Richardson.
Hey, if you can't beat Daniel Jones for the starting job, you don't deserve the starting job.
We'll see how the workouts with Josh Allen go, but this is why Richardson's screwed. He's going to look worse than Daniel without the pads on because he's more accurate than you are, and he can make the downfield throw. But what you can't account for with those two is the impact that, you know, Richardson has as a runner. Granted, in Steichen's offense, I can see Daniel Jones running for 700, 800 yards. He's done that before in his career. So I'm curious to see. I'm not going to write Daniel Jones all the way off. I was having a discussion earlier about how much he sucks, which is ironic. I do think he's not very good, but
you can suck and be not written off.
For sure. And I think I always say quarterback success in the NFL is largely dependent upon fit. I think his fit in Indianapolis is damn good. Seattle, what the hell are you doing? That's what most people are saying, but not this guy. Yeah, I turned on you. See, I think John Schneider is one of the best evaluators of talent in the NFL. I think everyone to a man would tell you, yeah, Geno is the better quarterback than Sam Darnold. But Sam Darnold's still only, what, 27? 28? Still got a lot of good football left in him. Potentially, he's got a number one in Jackson Smith and Jigba. Their offensive line's not bad at all. You supplement the rest of the skill position with some draft picks, and maybe you're cooking with gas if you are Seattle. And then the other quarterback destination that was filled was the Las Vegas Raiders. It was filled with Geno.
And the New York Jets.
Oh, the Jets and Justin Fields. You're right.
People forget.
I actually like that move. I think Justin, he doesn't get enough credit for how he's handled himself. Getting benched in Chicago, didn't hear a peep on the way out. Did completely dirty in Pittsburgh, didn't hear a peep on the way out. I think he gets it done for gangrene. That is around the NFL. When we come back, we'll get the Houston side of things as to why they parted ways with Pro Bowl left tackle Laremy Tunsil when our guy Sean Pendergrass joins us next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the always free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 9:45. Caps hockey coming up on the other side. Right now, though,
we continue our conversation surrounding the massive deal that happened yesterday. Laremy Tunsil, former Pro Bowl tackle, shipped to Washington for an assortment of draft picks. To discuss the deal, we're joined by our guy Sean Pendergrass, the co-host of Payne and Pendergrass, weekdays 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Sean, appreciate you giving us some time, my friend.
Yeah, gentlemen, how we doing? How we feeling? First 2 days of free agency. Things have been popping for you guys up there, huh?
Yes, it has. I feel great. I don't know how the fans of Houston can feel good. Explain this to us, Sean. After a season in which C.J. Stroud was running for his life for the better part of 17 weeks, they have now, in the past 24 hours, got rid of the entire left side of their offensive line. Why?
Yeah. The line sucked last year. that's a big reason. And I know that the crux of what we're going to talk about here is Laremy Tunsil, but they also waived Shaq Mason, who was their starting right guard the last 2 years.
Wow.
Last week. Like, they are tearing the offensive line down to the studs. It would not shock me if they traded Titus Howard, their right tackle / left guard, at some point either, who was sort of Laremy Tunsil's sidekick in that offensive line room. I get the view around the country of this trade. It looks very counterintuitive. You had an offensive line that allowed C.J. Stroud to get sacked 50-some-odd times, get hit a whole lot more than that, and now the one guy you move off from in a trade here is, well, not one. Obviously, there's a few. But of all the guys you move off of in a trade here is Laremy Tunsil, who by Pro Football Focus and the various stats out there is one of the best pass protectors in football. And that's true. He is. He's a very, very good pass protector. I think where I'll try to inject some perspective and sanity into this, because you guys, you know, you didn't follow Laramie on a snap by snap basis, or you weren't at practices and weren't at training camp with Laramie the last couple of years. So that's why I'm here. He's not a guy who likes to practice. He is not a guy who loves physicality. As good as he is at protecting the passer, he's been a mediocre to abysmal run blocker. And by and large, he doesn't seem all that interested in improving at any of those things. He really loves to put side eye emojis when other tackles get paid. That's a big hobby of his that he retweets. He retweets Schefter tweets of, say, Penei Sewell getting a big money. He loves to point that out. Laramie is a paycheck player. He's a really good player, and he's a good dude. He's well-liked by his teammates. But he was a guy that in the Texans offensive line room was for some reason viewed as a leader. And I think the view of upper management, coaching, personnel, front office, is that he was dragging down that room. And I can tell you that's the feeling among Texan fans, is that he was dragging down that room because the guy's just not – he's not what D'Amico Ryans is looking for in players. D'Amico Ryans, I mean, you guys remember him as a player. That dude was a – he was a pipe-swinging MF-er, man. Like, that's who he's got on defense. Now it's time to build the offensive line that way. So that's the Houston perspective. That's why 88% of the people who voted in my Twitter poll, approval poll of the trade, guys, 88% of Texan fans approved of the trade yesterday.
Yeah, 88 is a gargantuan number. So, Sean, I was told yesterday that there was some special treatment that he wanted from the team. Is that what you mean by not wanting to practice, or is there more to the special treatment that he wanted?
Yeah, I had heard the same things about, like, he had his own sort of practice schedule. He didn't practice at all in training camp this year. He was coming off a knee injury. Didn't seem too broken up that he wasn't really practicing that much, though. Yeah, like, he's a guy that throughout the season gets a Veterans Day's rest every week for practice, which, if you have an offensive line that's clicking and moving the ball 5 yards a carry and not getting your quarterback killed, that's totally cool. When you have an offensive line and you're the leader, voted him a captain, the leader of that offensive line, then you got to practice. The vet days off don't cut it. So that, yeah, it's stuff like that, and it's a lot of little things. And I think Texan fans were very happy to kind of move on from Laramie and not have that room kind of held hostage by his vibe anymore.
I'm stunned that this is the reaction of folks down there in the Houston area. And as you mentioned, you have a much better idea of this because you're there on a day-to-day basis. But, I mean, vet days are common practice around the National Football League in camp as well as in the regular season while you're practicing, especially toward the end. So that doesn't rub me the wrong way at all. Look, the social media stuff would irritate me probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the play on the field is the play on the field. You can't name me three better tackles at the left tackle spot right now in the sport.
Protecting the passer, you can't, but he's not a good run blocker. You guys will find this out. He's not a good run blocker. The false start penalties, welcome to that world. He's led the league in false start penalties since he became a Texan, period, end of story. But last year, he took it to an extreme. I want to say he had like 12 false start penalties.
12 is the number, yeah.
Yeah, 12 false start penalties. And that's Laramie again. Like, Laramie's way into the PFF stats. He's got rabbit ears for who gets mentioned ahead of him on all these tackle lists like you're talking about. I think Laramie knows he's kind of gamed the system. He knows that if he's really elite at something, pass protection, that he's going to get those type of love and that type of accolades, which translates into bigger contracts. His false start penalties are entirely selfish. He's got the physical ability. The guy would have been the number one pick in the draft when he came out if he hadn't gotten caught with the face mask. What?
Sean, to call a false start penalty selfish?
Yes.
It's an accident.
Yes. When you have two, it's an accident. When you have 12, it's selfishness. I'm serious. Like, Laramie Tunsil doesn't need to be leaning backwards to gain a step on these guys. He is incredibly talented and quick. I'm telling you guys how we feel down here in Houston about the whole thing.
So you mentioned the rabbit ears that he has of PFF numbers and always kind of side-eyeing people when they call other guys elite. Do you think that if we spend the next couple of months talking about how bad he is in the run game, it'll force him to be better?
No, we've been doing it for 6 years. No, I don't think it will. I don't think it will. No, look, Here's the thing. Like, Laremy Tunsil's a good football player. I'm not on here telling you guys that he's trash. I'm telling you guys the nooks and crannies of the Laremy Tunsil experience that has roughly 90% of Texan fans totally out on the dude. This guy made the Pro Bowl 5 years out of the 6 years he was a Texan. The only year he didn't make it was back in 2021 when David Culley was the head coach, and he got some mysterious wrist injury that kept him out for a few weeks. And every week it was like, is Laremy coming back? Is Laremy coming back? And week 17 or 18 rolled around, and he just never came back that year. It's a really weird thing. The other 5 years he was here, other than that one, he made the Pro Bowl. Can you guys remember a guy that made five recent Pro Bowls where everybody's celebrating on the way out that the guy's gone? You know, like, that's...
It's stunning to hear the way that he's viewed down there. I'm taken aback by it all.
Yeah, it's not hate. It's like, I'm not, like, I hope I'm not coming across the way.
No, not at all. You're being honest.
Yeah, I don't hate the guy at all. I like Laremy Tunsil. Like, he's a good dude. It's just, I think the impression of what he is as a football player exceeds the actuality of the football player. Now, to be clear, maybe a change of scenery, maybe a new head coach. I don't know. I mean, D'Amico Ryan's pretty good at getting through to guys. I don't know who the O-line coach is for you guys, what the thought is there. I know Cliff Kingsbury's got a very laid-back attitude there. Laremy will vibe well with Cliff Kingsbury, at least if he's the same as the Arizona version of Cliff Kingsbury. So, I don't know. You guys might get a different version of him, but he's 31 years old. I mean, we're talking about an age where guys, however they're wired is how they're wired, you know?
So, Sean, I'm curious. You're kind of going a little bit off of the Laremy Tunsil thing. There were a lot of comparisons last year with Jaden to CJ because of the magnitude of how good, you know, CJ was as a rookie and then how good Jaden was as a rookie. A lot of people said that CJ took a step back. I mean, I guess maybe he did a little bit. They still ended up in the same spot, still had a good record. It was very clear it wasn't all him. What should we expect in, like, year number two from Jaden based on what you guys got from year number two and CJ?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been saying on our show down here, guys, like, all the last months, that you guys are the most fun team to watch in this season here in free agency because it looks so much like the Texans did last year. You know, quarterback on a rookie deal, offensive rookie of the year, ton of cap space, rejuvenated kind of, you know, like, the Texans, not nearly in the dark period that you guys were for two decades, but it was pretty dark before CJ got here with Jackie Easterby and all that stuff. So you guys are in very similar situations right now as we were last year, so it's been fun to watch the way that the Commanders have been operating. As far as what Jaden's got cooked up in year two or what the league may have cooked up for him, it's tough to make a direct comparison because they're very different quarterbacks. You know, Jaden, I think, had a better rookie year than CJ did. They both had great rookie years. But the way that Jaden Daniels can hurt you with his legs just is such an X factor, whereas CJ is kind of a more classic passer, although he started scrambling a little bit more
by necessity.
right. So, but Jaden is more built that way. I'm most interested to see how Jaden holds up physically just because he's so slight a build. To answer your question, the league had all kinds of answers for CJ throughout this season, some of which he was able to work through, some of which he wasn't. The whole league started playing a lot of two deep zone, and that was, you know, that was, you know, kind of how you at least neutralize the ability for CJ Stroud to attack downfield. So Jaden will probably see some of that, but with the way he runs, you know, more spies, stuff like that, the league will it's a smart league. They'll catch up to a few things, and it'll be up to Cliff Kingsbury to have a few chess moves. But it's exciting, man. Like, CJ statistically took a step backward, but the dude is tough, and everybody still feels like he's the dude moving forward. So same situation for you guys, man. It's exciting when you find that guy.
How do you think he feels about the offensive line being gutted?
Yeah, it's a good question. He look, everybody got along with Laremy, so there are guys who actually have publicly expressed, like, whoa, I'm shook, and, oh, I'm sick, and I'm this, I'm that. I think you got to wait and see. I mean, obviously, today they traded Kenyon Green also. They cut Shaq Mason. So CJ Stroud is not somebody who's going to knee-jerk react to anything. He's been completely off the grid this offseason as opposed to the offseason after his rookie year. And I guess that would maybe be something, too, to point to. If Jaden's been doing a ton of media and podcasts and things like that since he won Rookie of the Year, that didn't seem to go well for CJ, just, you know, with doing that media circuit. So he's been invisible this year. So I have no idea what he thinks. I'm guessing he's probably, you know, just he's got a lot of trust in D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio. I know that, the coach and the GM. So I think he's probably being patient about this and waiting and seeing what it looks like. Again, the line that was in front of him last year, they're dismantling an offensive line that was among the worst in the league last year. So at its total surface, if we're not getting as granular as who each of the guys are, on the surface, this is something they should be doing. They should be rebuilding the offensive line in a different image.
Yeah, it's just fascinating to see the change in philosophy. I know a lot of folks up there soured on Bobby Slowick as well. How much do you think Bobby was responsible for the sophomore slump, if you're going to call it that, of us?
I think the team, I think quite a bit. Bobby was not super adaptable. Doesn't seem like a guy who's super focused on the fundamentals. He was more about, he was just hoping execution would get better at some point without really, he's more of a, it seems like Bobby's more of kind of a whiteboard, chalkboard guy than a guy who's, been a position coach who gets his hands dirty coaching tight ends or the offensive line. The guy that they've replaced him with, Nick Kaley, is much more that kind of guy. Coach tight ends in New England and tight ends in the with the Rams with McVay is way more of kind of focus on fundamentals sort of guy. So I think Bobby, I think you can look and see that they retained, other than the offensive line coach, they retained the rest of that offensive staff. So I think you can just tell from the behavior of the team that by what they've done in the last few days and by the firing of Bobby Slowick and the O-line coach, they feel that the entire responsibility virtually, almost all of it, falls on the coordinator and the offensive line.
Sean, how's our guy Tim Settle doing down there? I can't believe Washington let him walk a couple years ago when they did. I mean, how's he doing down there?
We love Tim Settle, dude. We love Tim Settle. He's doing great. He had 5 sacks this year. He's banged up a little bit, but when he was in there, he made stuff happen. Now, he's still got a year left on his deal, and it's funny. They just brought back Sheldon Rankins, the Texans did, who was really good for them 2 years ago, went to Cincinnati. It didn't go so great, but Sheldon was number 98 when he was here. And Settle's number 98 now. So I'm looking forward to the fight to the death over number 98 between Tim Settle. I've got Tim Settle minus 150 in that fight. I've got a ticket on it right now. He's doing awesome. We're big Tim Settle fans as well.
Yeah, I am. I am too. He's someone that I wish Washington could have back on their defensive line. Just a two-gap guy that can eat blocks and penetrate and give you pass rush juice. It is awesome. I want to get back to Laramie for one second because it's amazing still that a player of his caliber was moved. But when you add the details that you just added, Sean, I think it paints the picture perfectly. It just seems like the two sides were ready to part ways with each other, or Houston rather was ready to part ways with him. And he kind of is just a play it by ear type of guy. Do you view him as the type of guy that, because sometimes when you change scenery, Sean, there is I better get my act together or else. Do you think he is that type of guy? Does this tick him off? Does this make him go harder? Or do you think it's, I'm just on a better team now?
I honestly think that if he gets any indication that there's another contract extension in his future, I'm 1,000% serious. Like, he is all about the next deal. He's so good that he can be viewed at the level he's viewed at and still get that money. Like, he's obviously excellent at his superpower, which is protecting the quarterback. He's really good. There's no, sometimes these Pro Football Focus numbers lie. They don't lie with Laramie. Laramie's an excellent pass protector. Like, how many sacks does the guy give up? Hardly any. Okay, he's great. It's that sort of thing. But he's got 2 years left on his deal. And my guess is with 1 year, that's how it always worked here in Houston. This is the third contract that he's working on now here in Houston. He got one after he got traded here for the 2 first round picks when Bill O'Brien was in charge. And then he got to his credit, he got extended by, new GMs and coaches. There have been some good things about having Laramie in the building as well. It's just, the culture of that room just got so bad last year. I think they just felt like it needed new leadership. And if they can get a few, good draft picks in the process, then so be it. But as long as that contract's sitting out there as the carrot, you're going to get you'll get at least a decent version of Laramie. I can promise you that.
Sean, final one for me here. I'm looking over your Twitter. One, I love that you're behind Michael Cole and Corey Graves when Corey Graves had that silly haircut. but two, I noticed the Kolaschkis. What's the best flavor? My fiance loves making kolaschkis, so I'm a big fan. What's the best flavor?
Okay, there's a box on my counter. I stopped at the kolache factory on the way home today, so there's one sitting on my counter right
Perfect.
Here. The classic sausage and cheese one is the one that's sort of the go-to. Just, you know, link of sausage with some melted cheese inside of it. The other ones that I go to when I put my dozen together, I usually get six of those because my wife likes those. Then I get two egg and cheese, two Italian chicken, which is chopped up Italian chicken with melted cheese inside.
Oh,
and then, and then the other one, they have barbecue brisket ones down here that have brisket inside of them with barbecue sauce. Yeah, it's a very decadent thing. So
that's because we make sweet ones. You know, the walnut spread, the strawberry jam, a little bit of the apricot. I love the walnut. I've never had a savory, like you're talking my language, with all the sausage, egg, and cheese in there.
There's more savory down here than there are sweet in the Kolache Factory ones. But if you get into the weeds, like out in the hill country in Texas, where all the Czechoslovakians live, they get very parochial about their kolaches. They will tell you that the ones that I'm eating right now are totally fugazi. Whatever Czechoslovakian is for fugazi, whatever Czechoslovakian is for Italian for counterfeit, that's what they will tell you my kolaches are.
Sean, we appreciate you giving us some time, as always, my friend. Hopefully Laramie's got a contract coming his way. I don't know if we should want to pay the guy or what.
Hey man, you pay the guy. He will definitely work for pay for sure. No, I appreciate you guys having me on. And I'm being serious. It's been really fun watching kind of the resurgence of the Commanders from down here. Like that was it's been really cool kind of watching the season last year. Jaden's an easy guy to root for and the whole thing. So enjoy it, man. This is a good time.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, Sean.
You got it. Take care.
Big thank you to our guy, Sean Pendergrass in Houston, giving us the latest on the new left tackle for the Burgundy and Gold. Big thank you to Kevin Sheehan. Big thank you to super producer Max, as well as you all on the phones. Caps Hawk comes your way next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.